I'm going to destroy some beliefs, some structures that have been built by your beliefs. I'm going to put a seed in your heart that suggests that God can do something outrageous for you. It's going to take a little work. I don't mind doing the work, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part. And your part is simple. Your part is just to be open to the idea. A preview is something that has already been made that you get to get snapshots of before it goes public. And God is about to give you a covenant preview. Luke 1. From your sound, I see I got some work to do. Help me, Holy Ghost, in here. Luke 1, when you have it, say amen. We want to pick this up in the 26th verse. The 26th verse. This is kind of where we left off last Sunday. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married, a spouse to be married, pledged to be married, to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Yeah. Mary was greatly troubled at his word. She was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. It wasn't a greeting, it was a preview. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Yeah. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Yeah. And Mary asked this question. She says, how will this be? I am a virgin. Ain't nobody touch me. And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Yeah, 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 yeah. And he says, "Let me let you in on another little secret. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Because God can't give you a preview without showing you that it's possible." Y'all ain't ready for me. Y'all ain't ready for me already. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 months." "For no word from God will ever fail." I like the King James Version here. And this is where our text is today in Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing For with God, I can tell I got work to do. For with God, nothing shall be, oh God, impossible. Wherever you're at, watching online, in this room, get your heart and mind ready for a word that's going to break the old cycles, that's going to destroy old belief systems and structures. Spirit of the living God, you've brought us here for a specific reason. We did not assemble today just because we do it out of religion. We came today because we need a word from you. We need to hear from you. For without a word from you, we cannot live. We need clarity and direction. We need insight. We need you to do what only you can do. So, Father, speak to us a word that'll change our very nature and cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. A word that transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive this word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. The most important thing, God, is that you don't let us do this without you. From this very point on, if your presence ain't a part of it, ain't nobody having no fun. We don't want to preach without your presence. We don't want to worship without your presence. We don't want to move without it. So fill this place, Holy Spirit. Touch us. Change us, wreck us, do whatever you got to do. Just get us to where you want us to be. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. You agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with and say something new is coming into your life. Yeah, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to babysit you with the text. It is not my goal today to exegete this text in its entirety. My goal is to get you to the place spiritually and mentally that God needs you to be at to do what he wants to do in your life. And that takes the word of God to come forth, to separate soul from spirit so we can get down to the real nitty gritty or the things that's happening in your heart. This text is so powerful that if I really, really preached it, I could do a whole week series on this thing because that's how powerful it is. We hear the story about Mary and the incarnation of Jesus Christ and Emmanuel, God with us, God choosing to take human form, to come into the world, to save it. It is a powerful idea that God would choose to come in this capacity, that he would choose to come through all of the lineage of humanity and come through all of the mess and junk and all of the issues of our lives, and to allow himself to have to be wrapped in this sinful flesh in order to save us from sin. It is a powerful concept. To be incarnate, to be incarnate means that you're willing to come through all of the mess and all of the stuff and all of the junk and all of the filth and all of the dirt, and that you would wrap yourself in it and live in it and abide in it and sit with it and walk with it and love it and care for it. That's the idea that God is giving here. So when you look at this story, you have to peel back and look at the history of how he got here and who he came through. You have to see that he came through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that out of Jacob, he came through the lineage of Judah. And then Judah had a whole bunch of issues, and y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And the whole family line was all riddled with all types of horrible stories of rape and of incest and of murder and all types of difficult and troubling things and ordeals. And Jesus came through all of that. He had to come through a woman by the name of Rahab, who was his great, 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 great. You get the picture. And all of that wonderful stuff. And he had to come through David, who had his own issues. And all throughout scripture, this covenant promise of this Messiah throughout the whole scriptural context of the Bible is coming to fruition at this point. In other words, there should be some excitement here, because now the Lord is about to show up once and for all, just as was prophesied. And so when you read the text, you're reading years of prophetic declaration that people got up and talked about and spoke about, that folk were looking for and believing for, and now it is about to arrive. You just missed a good place to shout, because what I just told you is that God views time through covenant. And because he has a covenant, the time really doesn't matter. Whenever God gives a word, it has to be fulfilled just as he intended. The Bible tells us that his word cannot return unto him void, but it must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that he sent it to. So when God speaks a word over our lives, regardless of how much time it seemingly takes, that word has to come to pass. Here's some good news for you also. The word of God is not just for one individual, it's generational. And so even if you don't see it in your lifetime, your children or your children's children can step into that word that God promised you. That means you're about to experience something that God promised your grandmother, that God promised your grandfather. That y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You're about to encounter something that ain't even really got nothing to do with you. And now we're at the point in scripture where it's about to arrive. Just look at your neighbor and do a test run real quick and say, it's about to show up. It's about to show up. The problem with it showing up is that it's showing up in an unusual way. So God has to give us a covenant preview to tell us how it's going to come. Because whenever God comes into our life in a package, in a way that we're not familiar with, we have to have a discussion with God. And God has to make sure before we have that discussion that he has his protection all in place, so that when he has the discussion with us, that what he intended is protected. This is why God had to come to Joseph first before he showed up to Mary and tell Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary, because what she is carrying, y'all don't hear me, what she is carrying is going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit. So God had to make sure she was protected. This is why the greeting to her, when the angel shows up, he shows up with a greeting, which is really a preview, and he says to you, blessed Mary, for you are blessed and highly favored. Look at your name and say, you're not just favored, you're highly favored. The reason why you're not shouting is because you think favor is a provision. Favor is not a provision, it's a protection. The Bible says the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround them as with a shield. You're trying to use favor like provision. Like when I go to the job interview, I got favor. And when the door shuts, you think your favor is not working. No, the door shutting was protection, because that's not the place that God wanted you to be. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Slap your name and say, I'm protected. Look at me again and say, I'm highly protected. God is saving me from me. The door shut because I wasn't supposed to be there. They told me no because it wasn't time yet. Slap your name and say, I'm protected. You're trying to use favor like currency. Favor is not spiritual currency. Faith is. So you're walking around talking about, I have favor, but you don't know what favor is intended to do. Favor is intended to protect you, not from the enemy. but from your decisions. Oh, touch your neighbor and say, it ain't about the devil right now. It's about my decisions. Oh, I got work to do. 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 Decisions. It's about your decisions because destiny is a decision. It's about your decisions. You got to make a decision when God comes to you and says, I'm going to do something that is so unfamiliar that I have to give you this divine protection. Because when I do it, it's going to sound ridiculous and it's going to sound outrageous. So you have to make a decision because God will never place what he's going to do on you. You have to be willing to carry it. That's why Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, he's saying, aren't you tired of trying to carry it yourself? And the reason why you're making bad decisions is that you don't see the vision or the dream or the aspiration that God gave you as a beautiful burden. You just see it as a burden. When a woman is pregnant with a child, she is burdened, but the burden is beautiful. And the only reason she can endure the burden is because she knows something coming. I wish I had somebody in here. You got to get to the place of deciding to endure the burden that God gave you in the form of the vision that you hold and tell yourself something's coming. I don't know who I'm really trying to preach to, but if you sit and act like I'm not preaching to you, you're going to miss the opportunity to make a decision to keep going till your something's coming. Look at your neighbor and say, something is on the way. Why do you think you're going through the pain and the travail and the hardship? It is an indicator that something is coming. I dare you to find somebody that halfway look like they got a pulse and say something is coming. Oh, I feel this thing up in here. I feel this thing up in here. Something's coming. And here's the wonderful thing. You ain't got to guess what something is. The angel comes and says, blessed Mary, you are highly favored. You are highly protected of the Lord. Blessed and highly favored of you. Favor is protection. It's not a provision. And so you are highly favored of the Lord. I've been covering you. I've been watching over you. I hand selected you. I picked you. I could have picked anybody, but I picked you. I could have used anybody, but I want to use you. Oh, God, who am I talking to in here? I picked you. I didn't just pick your name out of a hat. This has been a covenant thing for a long time. I've been watching over you for a long time. I kept you from that incident. I saved you from that accident. Oh, God, I rescued you when you thought there was no rescue. I pulled you out of the muck and the miry clay and set you up. Who am I preaching to in here? Slap your neighbor high on my side and say, I ain't no accident. You're not an accident, you're an event. God, who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Woo! Good God Almighty, that thing just came out my spirit. You are an event with a schedule and a timeline. And he tells her, you're blessed in highly favored of the Lord. And she's having this conversation with the angel. And she says, this is a strange greeting. She's troubled by this greeting. It's not in her subconscious. Joseph had to be talked to subconsciously. It was a dream. But she was awake. Ooh, touch your neighbor and say, wake up, open your eyes, baby. See, you can get to the place where you're about to make a bad decision and God can't talk to you while you're awake, so he talks to you subconsciously. When your mind is rested, when it's not battling, and y'all ain't saying nothing to me, and he'll come and slip in there and try to give you a message, but Mary's awake. Which means Mary was expecting something and she didn't know what something was. She's about to be discarded. I wish I had somebody in here. And the angel comes to her and he says, listen, listen, let's have this conversation. And he's talking with her, and they're having a conversation, and he says, you're highly favored of the Lord. You're gonna receive this thing. It's going to be conceived in you. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a child. His name is going to be called Jesus, and all this wonderful stuff. And what flips my wig about the whole concept, what really messes me up about it, is that Mary says, oh, my God, this word is troubling me. And then the angel gives her a preview about what's troubling her and tells her everything that's about to happen and everything that's about to come. And then Mary says, how, Lord have mercy, how can this thing be? Which lets me know that her thinking, she was so wide awake that everything that she was dealing with in the moment did not matter. The only thing she wanted to answer for is, how is this thing going to happen? Not when, not why, how? Oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. How? It's a powerful thing because she's saying to herself, okay, it's possible, you don't hear me, but how? The how is letting us know where her faith is. The how was her currency, you don't hear, to get the preview, because she realized she was protected. Now she can spend some faith and say, God, how you gonna do it? The how wasn't like, this is not gonna happen. The how was, how is it gonna happen? The how was, God, how you gonna do it? I wish we start asking God questions like that instead of when, Lord. Oh God, why me, God? I wish we get to the place in our spirit where we start getting so excited that we say, God, how you gonna do it? God, how you gonna work it out? Because I know you're gonna work it out. Just how? Just tell me how. I don't care when. I don't care why. Just let me get excited about how. When you wake up and start designing your destiny and start asking God questions like how, he can tell you what's going on. As long as you saying why, y'all ain't saying nothing. He ain't saying nothing because you're not ready to carry what he's about to give you. Mary had to have the faith to carry what he was about to give her. And the question that she had was not, why me? Lord, have mercy. Because she unhooked herself. I got to get it where I got to go. She unhooked herself from self-sabotage by not asking God, why me? She didn't care why me. She didn't care why she had an audience with the angel. She just wanted to know how it was going to be. Because in her current state, in her past state, she had not been with anybody. So she's trying to figure out, how in the world, given my past, are you going to do what you said you're going to do? Because I don't have the history that suggests I should be a candidate for what you're about to do. Oh, somebody look at your name and say, first things first, you got to let go of your history. You got to let go of your past. Y'all don't want to have no real conversation up in here. First thing that she had to do was let go of her past, which lets us know that she did, because she says, how? Given my history, I don't have any history with anything like that. So how is it even possible that this thing can be? And so then the angel of the Lord gives her the how. She says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to, watch me now, overshadow you. And oh, Lord, have mercy. It's going to overshadow you. In other words, when you unhook self-sabotage, you loosen the grip of self-sufficiency. You say, God, I don't have any power to produce what you're suggesting. So I have to be overshadowed by your power in order for this to take place. So first things first, I got to let go of my past. And second thing, I got to get out the way. Look at your name and say, get out the way. When God shows up to do something outrageous in your life, you got to learn how to get out the way. Oh, touch three people and say, get out the way, 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 get out the way. Hi, Pastor. How do I get out the way? Well, you ain't going to get out the way as you're holding on to your past. So you got to do that first before you get out the way. You got to leave the past where it belongs. You can't be worrying about, I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the resume. I don't have the tools. I don't have the resources. I don't come from that. That's not my history. Given all that I've gone through, God, how can you put me in this place? You got to tell yourself, oh, God, I don't want to mess this whole thing up. You got to tell yourself and you got to give yourself permission that God can do something outrageous in your life. Okay, 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 okay. Fight me if you want to, but I'm going to set somebody free. You got to give yourself permission that God can do something outrageous in your life. It's just not for people up on the stage or those folk over there that got it all figured out or those folk that are famous. God can do something outrageous in my life that makes absolutely no sense. Oh, I dare you to stand on your feet right now and prophetically declare that God can do something outrageous in your life. I dare you, say your name. God can do something outrageous for Michael. God. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. I dare you. God can do something outrageous in my life and in your life. You got to give yourself permission in order for that to happen. Because if you don't, you're going to sabotage the whole thing by saying, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I don't have that history. I don't have that background. All she said was how. And when he explained the how, her next statement set the whole thing off. Her next statement was, well, be it unto me according to your word. Oh, I dare you look at somebody and say, it can happen for me too. High five three people and say, you too, you too. Oh, he gonna do something outrageous for you too. God's gonna do something outrageous for me too. Oh God, before. Oh, there's a shout right there. 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 Oh, y'all sit down. Let me finish this thing. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Let me give you this real quick, and then we're going to get out of here. I promise. We're going home. Here we go. Here we go. She had to defeat the limiting beliefs that suggest God couldn't do it for her. And it is going to be your beliefs and your values that's going to get you into the position of being ready to receive something outrageous for God. You have to first let go of your past. You have to second get yourself out of the way. And the best way to get yourself out of the way is to understand that you're not sufficient in yourself. Oh, you're not sufficient in yourself. And if you keep believing that you are, God can't show up to do what only he can do in your life. You also have to tell yourself that whatever closed, God can open. Woo, you gotta tell yourself that if something's shut, don't mean it's shut forever. That God has the power and the capacity to open up what was shut. How do we know this to be true? Because when he gave her the preview, he didn't just tell her what was coming, he told her what was. He said, your cousin Elizabeth, who in her old age, who was told that she would never be able to conceive, is 6 months down the road with something that somebody said she would never have. So just because it was shut, you don't hear what I'm, doesn't mean God can't open the thing back up. And I came to prophesy to somebody that whatever has been shut, God is about to open, oh God, who am I talking to here? God is about to open that thing back up to you. Who am I talking to? It was shut because of covenant. It wasn't shut because you couldn't. It was shut because of covenant. It was not shut because you couldn't. It was not time yet. It wasn't time. God needed Elizabeth to be pregnant at the right time so that what she was carrying could be a herald or a messenger for what Mary was carrying. That's why you should never be jealous when somebody's a little bit ahead of you. They're just an announcement, oh God, about what's coming next in your life. Oh God, you should hope the person next to you get blessed. That is a prophetic indicator that God is about to bless you too. I am laying it down up in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I hope God blesses you. Ridiculously in 2019, in the first 30 days, in the first 60 days, because it is a prophetic indicator of what he's gonna do in my life next. I feel the Lord in here. My God, I feel him in here. I gotta hurry up. Your beliefs and your values have to line up with your capability. You can carry what God is about to give you. And you can birth it out. You didn't have the power to conceive it, but you do have the power to carry it. Oh my God. I'm trying to not let my Holy Ghost slip out too much this morning. But I'm telling you, you didn't have the power to conceive it, but you do have the power to carry it. God is saying, I'll conceive it, but you carry it. I'll put the seed in you, but you got to carry it. Oh, who am I talking to in here? I'll give you the vision, but you got to carry it. I'll give you the idea, but you got to carry it. And when the time comes, you got to push that thing out.
Okay.
So then that means your behavior has to change. So God doesn't want you to beg your way into your future. He wants you to behave into your future. When God gives you something to carry, your audience, your circle should change. You got to get around people who are carrying like you're carrying. Because not everybody else is going to understand the labor pain and the uncomfortable positions and the cravings and the reason why you need to get around other people who are carrying is because they can tell you what's normal. When Mary went to go see Elizabeth and Elizabeth was 6 months along, Elizabeth could tell Mary, oh girl, that's normal. I'm craving pickles and onions. Girl, that's normal. I gotta keep going to the bathroom. Oh girl, please, wait until you get. Because when you're carrying something, everything changes. And you gotta get comfortable with the changes and know that the changes are not, watch me now, permanent. They're just temporary until you birth out what God has put on the inside of you. So when you start feeling uncomfortable, when you start feeling weighted down, it's because you're carrying something that's precious. Your whole body, your whole world, your whole life expands. Your sleeping habits change. Your clothes change. You can't wear what you used to because it don't fit. I can't stay here. So your beliefs, your values, impact your capability. Your capability impacts your behavior. When you start believing you're capable, your behavior changes. And you stop begging into your future and start behaving into your future. Are you with me so far? Are you with me? So beliefs and values, capability. All right, I gave you that one. Beliefs, values, capability, behavior. Here's the last one I want to give you. Your environment's got to change. Oh, God, your environment's got to change. That means you can't stay in the same place with the same people when you are carrying something that God gave you. And he gave you a covenant preview of what you're carrying and told you how big it was going to be. Your environment's got to change. Touch your neighbor and say, your environment's got to change. I'm sorry. If you stay where you are, you're going to surround yourself with people that's going to kill what you're carrying. You don't hear what I'm saying. That's why you had to go to the hill countryside somewhere to go see Elizabeth so that your environment can change. Touch your neighbor and say, your environment's got to change. Your environment's got to change. You got to get around people who appreciate what you're carrying. You got to get around the right audience that appreciate what you're carrying. Because when Mary met Elizabeth, the baby inside of Elizabeth leaped. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Because your environment's got to change. You can't stay where you are. You got to get into it. I don't have time to drill down on none of this, but you got to get to the place where your environment changes. Whenever God is about to do something new, Lord have mercy, he always moves or shifts the environment. Whenever God is, you don't hear what I'm saying. Whenever God is about to do something new, he always moves or shifts the environment. Transition is always a part of what God is doing something new. So you have to be comfortable with moving to new places and new locations and get around people who identify with what you are carrying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Because if you don't get around people who identify with what you're carrying, they're going to talk you out of what you're carrying and you're going to wind up aborting the thing that God gave you that's so precious. You got to get around people saying, when you do, how you feeling? You all right? You need anything? Come on here. Huh? What the doctor say? Where you at with it? Come on here, somebody. Have you been walking? Have you been taking your prenatal pills? You got to get around the folk that mean you some good, that want to see the baby come to fruition, that want to see the thing get born, that want to hold it just as bad as you do. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor a real good high five and say, my whole circle is about to shift. God is about to surround me with some folk that want to do me good instead of doing me harm. My whole environment is about to shift. Let me finish this thing. I'm done. I'm going to prove to you that I'm done. See. I wasn't preaching from that no way. So that it is the generosity of God. Let me put it to you this way. It is the ridiculous generosity of God that opens futures that are seemingly shut. Yeah, I feel that thing right there. And when God gives you a preview is something that has already been made. It's already produced. It's already built. It's already made. Even though it's new, it's already done. The only reason you go see the movie is because you saw the preview. And when you saw the preview, you said, I can't wait to go see that. Do me a quick favor and high five somebody and say, I got a preview of my future and I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. Oh God, who am I talking to? Oh. Just prophesy to your neighbor and say, did you get a preview, a snapshot of your future? Maybe you got to get dressed to go see it. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Because if you got a real snapshot about what God is about to do, you'd be losing your absolute mind. I got a snapshot that I'm about to be healed. I got a snapshot that I'm about to be blessed. I got a snapshot. It's a preview. It's the preview that allows you to keep looking for the coming attraction. Coming out in 2019, you like, ooh, when it's coming, when that sucker coming out. I'm closing this thing for real. Do me a quick favor, get real anointed, look at your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, coming in 2019, but starting right now, because it's already done. It's the future I've been waiting for. The devil thought it was shut, but God just opened the thing up. Will you come see it with me? Will you come watch it with me? For the Bible says that any two or three of you would gather together in his name, that he'll show up in the middle of it. If you start praising God with me right now, God will show up in my future, and he'll show up in your future. I dare you to take 30 seconds and give God a praise for your future. I dare you to praise him for your future. I dare you to praise him for what's coming next. Oh God, I feel it. Come on, this is for my future. This is for months down the road. This is for my children and my children's children. This is for my future success. This is for my future healing. This is for my... Let me tell you how biblically sound I am right now. I'm not praising, asking you to praise God to hype you. When Mary got to Elizabeth and they start talking about their collective future, Mary sat down and wrote a song called The Magnificent. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's about to be magnificent. That's why I gotta give him praise right now. You got a chance to write your own song. You got a chance to write your own music for the screenplay of your future. I wish I had somebody, and you can do it with a praise right now. Don't sit here and look at me. Throw your head back and go. It's magnificent. Oh God, I feel like preaching it here. It's magnificent. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. Hey! I wish you get good at anointing and say, it's magnificent. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. It's magnificent. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. What God is about to do is magnificent, it's outrageous, it's ridiculous. I said it's magnificent, I said it's outrageous, I said it's ridiculous, I said it's magnificent, it's outrageous. And it's, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for every hater and every critic. It's magnificent. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. Come on. Come on. Oh, I feel that cycle breaking. I feel that dry season ending. I feel that difficulty stopping. It's about to be magnificent. It's about to be outrageous. It's about to be ridiculous. If you're gonna play it, play it. I said he's going to do more than you ever expected. Come on, receive this word. God's about to do more than you ever expected. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be outrageous. It's going to be ridiculous. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in him, he is going to do more than you ever expected. Lift those hands all over the church. Than you ever expect. He's gonna do more than you ever expect. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels camp themselves round about you. I'm sorry, I just got interrupted by the Holy Ghost. This is for somebody. He's been speaking to you all service. If you give him your heart, He'll do more than you'll ever expect. He'll do more than you ever expect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. He'll take you just as you are. He died for us while we were still sinners. It's the church that put a higher standard on Christianity than God did. God loves you just as you are. All your proclivities, all your issues, all your stuff. And in this moment, right now, if you say, Jesus, come into my life, he'll do it. He'll make you born again. Something new coming into your life. For any man that's in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you, you can do it right in your seat. You can do it right there online, wherever you are. And the Spirit of the living God will come into your life, regenerate your spirit, and make you something so bad that the devil will regret every moment he ever tried to stop your life and your destiny. Yeah. Hallelujah. Where was I? Bless you, keep you, shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. Surround you with his favor like a shield. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, hug two or three people and say, I got a covenant preview. God bless you. We love you.
He's done more than I ever.